Let us all say amen. I want to thank all those that participated in service on this evening, and also didn't make mention of those that served on this morning. Thank for all the brothers that served on this morning. Amen.
Amen.
And I want to look at it. Won't be before you long this afternoon. We're going to just share some things. Me and Brother Brooks have been discussing as it relates to the congregational. And so tonight, this afternoon, we want to look at but by prayer and fasting. So we want to look at that concept. It is a biblical concept. Jesus spoke about it as was read in our hearing. So you'll meet with me in Matthew chapter 17. We'll share the thought that Jesus gave to his disciples and understanding the power of prayer and fasting. And then the message be yours. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, again, we don't want you to leave that way. If you're not a member of the only church that you can find in the Bible, according to Romans 16:16, you're not a member of the Church of Christ. We don't want you to leave here tonight and not become a child of God and a Christian. It's my responsibility as the preacher to share what God has stated in his word for one to become a Christian. And I'll share that at the close of my message for you for the invitation. But Matthew chapter 17, we're talking again, but by prayer, Jesus said, and fasting. But Brother Oles, if you'll start with me at verse number 14 of Matthew chapter 17, verse 14.
And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying,
Lord,
have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he fallen into the fire and oft into the water.
He said, I brought him
to the disciples, and they could not cure him.
They couldn't do anything.
Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me.
Yeah, so now we find the case that we're looking at on this afternoon is one where we call that more, the Bible says lunatic, we call it people with epilepsy. And that is a medical disorder of the nervous system that causes people to suddenly become sometimes unconscious or to have uncontrolled movements of their body. And he said in this case when he told Jesus, he said because of him being lunatic, he said oftentimes he would fall into the fire, or he would fall into the water. And he said, I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him. And so Jesus now looked at those that are his, and he said to them, O faithless and perverse generation. He says, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? He said, bring the boy to me. And so again, in the context of what Jesus was talking about to us is understanding that we can be, even in the Lord's church, we can be faithless. Jesus said here, O faithless and perverse generation. And faithless simply means when we don't believe in the word of God, when we don't believe that Jesus can do what he said he can do, when we don't have trust in God, then we become faithless. And so the Bible says, and Jesus rebuked the devil,
and he departed out of him.
Uh-huh.
And the child was cured from that very hour.
Yeah.
Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them,
yeah,
because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting.
So again, we're talking about, go to Hebrews chapter 4, verses, Brother Old, Hebrews 4 and 12, and the Hebrew writer talks about unbelief and how what God says through the Hebrew writer about individuals, when we don't have a heart that trusts in the Lord. Notice in Hebrews 4 and 12, what the Hebrew writer says. He said, take heed, brethren.
4:12?
Yeah, Hebrews, I'm sorry, 3:12. I'm looking at 4. It's Hebrews 3:12. Thank you. He said, take heed.
Brethren.
Uh-huh.
Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God.
He said, but exhort one another daily.
While it is called today.
Yeah.
Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
So now, the Bible says through the Hebrew writer, he says, be careful, or take heed, brethren, lest in any of you, notice now, when you have a heart that don't believe, the Bible records it as an evil heart. When we don't trust in the Lord, the Lord calls it, through the Hebrew writer, an evil heart. He said, in turning away from the living God, when we live a life and we don't trust in God to be able to do what he, what the word says he's able to do, then we'll fall in the category of unbelief. And he said in verse 13, he said, but now I want you to exhort one another daily. He said, why it is called today? He said, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We talked this morning about being careful that we line our lives up morally with the Lord, because sin can be deceitful. Sin can deceive us into becoming hardened to the Lord, and then we don't do the thing that the Lord says. But again, back in Matthew 17, Jesus make mention to them the fact that how be it, he said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So I want to just talk for a moment about the fact that what prayer is, what fasting is it a biblical concept, and can we do it? Well, when we talk about prayer, Brother Oles, look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, when we define what prayer is, I think in the context when Paul wrote to the Christians in Philippi, he said to them, he said, be careful.
For nothing.
Yeah.
But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
So now, for those of us that are Christians, the Bible says the word careful in the text means to be afraid or to be worried about things. The Lord says to us that we ought not to be afraid. We ought not to worry. Why? Because the answer is, he said, when you have things that concern you, when you have things that you may worry about, the Bible says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So again, prayer, simply, we find it in the text, prayer is simply an earnest request that we make to God. Prayer is when I go to God with a request. When I am, in some cases, the word supplication means when I have a need, when it's something that I want. But we realize from the Word of God that there are times when we go to God in prayer. Sometimes, let us not just go to God when we want something. Notice he said in the text, he says, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We need to be people that are thankful for whatever situation God allows us to be in. We said on this morning about those people, those of us, those of you that are on the giving side, you are more blessed than the one receiving. The brother said today, as we took the Lord's Supper, it is more blessed, gave our offering. It's more blessed to give than receive. When you are in a position where you can give to someone else, you are more blessed than the person that's on the receiving end. And so when we go to God, we want to know that, God, I'm coming to you with a request, but I'm thankful for how things that they may be. Notice what Paul said in that Philippian letter. He said, verse number 10, he said, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly.
That now at the last your care of me hath flourished again.
Yeah.
Wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity.
Paul said, now I rejoice in the Lord greatly. He said that now your last care of me have flourished again. In other words, you're given to me again. He said, wherein you're also careful, but there was a time when you lacked opportunity. But notice what he said in verse number 11. He said, now that I speak, in respect of want, for I have learned.
In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content.
He said, I know both.
How to be abased.
Yeah.
And I know how to abound.
Yeah.
Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need.
So as a Christian, I need to learn when the word abased means to be made low and the word abound means to be high. I need to learn. Paul said, notice he said, I have learned this. What I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in to be content. You know, in other words, when Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, having food and raiment or shelter, he said, let us be therewith content. When God allows us to have food and God allows us to have shelter, at some point we got to be thankful. Now, we may not have the home that we may desire, but the fact that God has given us things. Paul said, let us therewith be content. He said, because I've learned how to be made low, and I know how to be up high. He said, everywhere and in all things, I am instructed. Both I am full and to be hungry. We need to have balance in our lives. Amen, somebody. You know, we need in our lives, we need to have, we all desire to have peace, but also sometimes we need to have balance. Balance allows us to look up and to be thankful to God. And Paul said that I have learned these things. I know how to be full. I know how to be hungry. He said, both to abound and to be in need. He said, but I can do all things
through Christ, which strengthened me.
Yeah, and so when the Lord said that, what Paul was saying, God has a way of strengthening not us physically, but God can strengthen your purpose. God can give you motivation through the word of God that I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. And so we understand that when we talk about prayer, prayer is something that we offer to God. Sometimes when I'm in need, I ask for supplication. And other times, I just make requests made known to God. But then John wrote in 1 John 5 and verse number 14, Brother Owens, talking about what prayer is, and then we're going to talk about how powerful prayer is. And see, we don't need, people don't realize, as Christians, we don't need miracles today. Why? Because we have prayer. Prayer can work more effectively than miracles. Read 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 14. John said we ought to have some confidence.
And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us.
Now notice what John said. John said, and this is the confidence that we have not in us, but we have confidence in God. John said that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, read.
Whatsoever we ask,
yeah,
we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him.
Yeah. So he said, John wrote to us concerning prayer, is that the confidence that we need to have, and you know oftentimes we pray for other people. Sometimes others come up and say, pray for me. We have to realize that John said, if we ask anything that's in according to God's will, God will hear us. And he said that when we make the word petitions mean simply to ask of him the things that we desire. So we need to go to God. Amen. We need to go to God more often. Pray about those things. Remember, Paul, said concerning Christians, we ought not to be anxious for nothing. He said, when anxiety started to build, just start praying. Just go to God in prayer. Pray about it. And he said, let your request be made known unto God. Don't call, sometimes we can call somebody to tell them about it, but I want to let Jesus know. Yeah, that Jesus can hear my prayer. And then when we talk about prayer, how powerful is prayer? Turn to James chapter 5. Show us how powerful prayer can be in one's life and how one uses prayer in their life. James chapter 5 Brother Olson, begin at verse number 15, James 5 and verse 15.
And the prayer of faith shall save the sick.
Yeah.
And the Lord shall raise them up. And if we have committed sins, they shall be forgiven.
Now notice what James said. James said a prayer of faith, meaning we're not faithless, but we have faith. When I pray, I trust that God is going to hear my prayer. And James said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. When those people are sick, we pray for them. We ask God to renew their strength, to raise them up out of bed of affliction. He said, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if they've committed sin, Bible said they shall be forgiven. Then he said, confess your faults.
One to another.
Yeah.
And pray one for another.
Yeah.
That ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
So again, we're talking about prayer. He said, now, what we ought to do is confess our shortcomings one to another. But he said also, understand this, once you share those things with each other, pray for one another. He said that the person may be healed of whatever he has. And then he said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then I noticed in verse 17, what we find in here, it's odd that James gives a Old Testament reference to a New Testament scripture. He said Elias
was a man subject to like passions as we are.
Yeah.
And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months.
Now the Bible says that Elijah was a man going through the same things that some of us go through. But this man, notice he said, was subject to like passion, meaning like things that we're going through. Now, he prayed to God. Notice how he prayed. He prayed earnestly, meaning when I pray to God, my prayer is sincere, my prayer is diligent, my prayer is one that I make to God. He said he prayed to God that it might not rain. You know, we get some, it don't rain here for a week in Houston. You know, everything go crazy. Yeah. You know, y'all burn up. You burn up. Everybody burning up. But the Lord says to us that this man, because of, and I'm talking about the power of prayer, because of the power of prayer, he prayed to God. And the Bible says, and you go back and read it, 1 Kings 17, that it did not rain for 3 years and 6 months because of the prayer. Why would a person need a miracle when you have the ability to pray? Yeah. We don't need no miracles. All I got to do is be able to pray to God and for God to hear my prayer. And notice what he says in verse 18. And he prayed again.
And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit.
Yeah, so we find that prayer is powerful when those that are Christian, again, you have to be a Christian to have access to God. John 9:31, the Bible said, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but the sinner he's talking about then was an alien sinner, a person who's separated from God, not just because we all sin, we all are sinners, but this sinner that he's talking about was one that was separated from God, that didn't have no hope. Go to Ephesians right quick. Let me show that in the Word of God. When I call it, we use the word alien so we'll know what I'm speaking of. In Ephesians 2:11, the Bible says, wherefore remember
that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh,
uh-huh,
who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand.
That at that time
ye were without Christ.
Now, he said, before you obeyed the Lord, you were a Gentile in the flesh. At that time, you were without Christ, being what?
Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel.
And strangers.
From the covenants of promise.
Having no hope.
And without God in the world.
Yeah, so before we obey the Lord, we were all, and that's what John 9:31 was talking about. This sinner was an alien sinner. He was separated from Christ. He was separated from God's people, and God did not hear his prayer. Now, we know that God hears prayer. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. So if God won't hear them, who does God hear? In 1 Peter, let me get there with you. Chapter 4. And 1 Peter chapter 3, I'm sorry, and verse number 12. 1 Peter 3:12. I said 1 Peter 3:12. The Bible says that what? For the eyes
of the Lord are over the righteous.
And his what?
Ears are open unto their prayers.
But the face
of the Lord is against them that do evil.
So who is the God ears open to? Those people that are righteous. And when you obey the Lord, you become righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way any of us can be righteous. We can't do enough to become righteous, but when we render obedience to the word of God, that makes us righteous when we're water baptized for the remission of our sins. Now we become a righteous person, and then we just have to live right. Amen?
Amen.
And so, looking at fasting briefly, in Matthew chapter 4, and I'll be down before you, Matthew chapter 4, we have where Christ fasted. Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1, Brother Oles.
Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil.
And
when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry.
And when the tempter came to him,
he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.
But he answered and said,
It is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God.
Thank you. So we find that fasting, and we find it in the text, is to voluntarily abstain from food or choose not to have something. We talked about, Brother Brooks mentioned on last week, about all of us trying to give up something that we desire. And the purpose of fasting, if I can control a natural appetite of mine, then when those carnal appetites come, I will be more stronger to fight against them. So fasting has to have a purpose in what we are doing, and it allows us, there has to be a spiritual application to it when it's biblical. And the Bible says Jesus allowed himself to fast 40 days, 40 nights. He was hungry, and at that point, now the devil tried to tempt him and ask him to turn the stone to bread. And Jesus said, understand this here. Man cannot live by bread alone. What we live by is by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then you have, if there are biblical examples of Christians praying and fasting, go to Acts chapter 13. Look at a couple of places now. The message is yours. Acts chapter 13. And begin at verse number 2.
As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas, and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them.
In verse 3.
And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away.
Because remember now, Jesus made the point, sometimes he said some things only can come this kind, he said, come not but by prayer and fasting. So what I'm showing is that we have biblical example of individuals who fasted and prayed. And then in Acts 14, verse number 23, another example.
And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia.
That's good. So we find again another example. In this case, the Bible says when they had ordained elders in every church, what they used that occasion to do to pray and to fast. And the Bible says they commended them to the Lord on whom they had believed. So again, what are you saying, Brother Stroud, that praying and fasting is a biblical concept, and if one chooses to do it, because Jesus said to his own, he said, some things this kind come only through prayer and through fasting. And so we again are simply just showing that concept. Again, we need to recognize that the power of prayer is in the Bible. As a Christian, we need to exercise that a gift that God is, and privilege that God has given to us, but also we find that our own Lord and Savior fasted. It is biblical that an individual can pray and fast if he chooses to. Again, what we find in the text is just scriptures that though that prayer and fasting was in the Word of God. And so as I close today, again, Jesus said, but by prayer and fasting. Now, sometimes when I want to go to the Lord about something, I may choose to not only pray, I may also choose to fast in order that I do those things, again, that we find that's in the Word of God. Again, fasting is voluntary. It's a voluntary abstaining from food. It is not mandatory. It is voluntary. So I want to make sure that we understand that I'm not saying that that is something that one must do, but one can do if he chooses to do that. Amen?
Amen.
And so as I close, if you're here again tonight and you're not a Christian, go to Matthew chapter 28. What you must understand is what God has asked one to do. I talked about how to one become a child of God, how to one become a Christian. Well, one becomes a Christian about hearing how Jesus, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, how Jesus died for our sin. He was buried in the tomb. He rose again the third day. What one must do to become a Christian, you must imitate Christ to become a son of God as Christ is his son. You must, Jesus died for sin. You must die to sin. He was buried in a tomb. You must be buried in a liquid tomb. It's called baptism. He rose up from the grave, never to die again. According to Romans 6 and 3, you'll rise up to a new life. But Jesus said that in Matthew 28 and 18, Brother Owens, if you read those few verses.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Uh-huh.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations,
yeah,
baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
So what we do in the Church of Christ, we teach people first that they must hear the gospel, believe the gospel, repent of their sin, confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, then be water baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Then they get a second teaching. He said, teaching them
to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world.
So Amen. If there's someone today that desires to become a Christian, we share with you what one must do. The Lord will add you to the Church of Christ according to Acts 2:47, the only church you can read about in the Bible. If someone today that would like to respond to the gospel message, we bid you to come and together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.